Hello, everyone. Okay. Ooh, my face is still a little red. I went running this morning. Leah has raised her hand already. Okay. All right. How y'all doing this morning? All right. We've got some folks. Just kind of get everything set up here real quick. Let me know that you can hear me in the chat real quick. I could do my microphone, but I don't absolutely love it. So if y'all can hear me, good. Okay. All right, Leah, let's get started with you.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. How are you?
Hi, I have a
Hi.
guest with me. I have a guest with me.
Hi.
It's Christy. We had a summer
It's a
party last
twofer.
night. Yeah. And she was the one that encouraged me to get on this call because I've just been having some thoughts, and she thought it would be ideal for me to do this with you today.
Awesome. Perfect. So what's up?
So I practice, or I adhere to no sugar, no flour. And the reason I do that is because for many years I participated in the OA program, but I could never get any recovery from my binge eating. I just couldn't. Not until I met Corinne and you and Kathy and started doing the PMP have I was able to not binge. And I mean, I had one small binge like in October, I think, that was a couple of hours, and I haven't been since then, which is remarkable that it's been all those months without binging. I don't even have the desire to binge. I'll have a thought, but I'll just kind of, I'll coach myself through the thought and then it'll go away. Even when I overeat, like eat more than, and plus my past too, it doesn't go beyond and become this full binge. Like in the past, if I ate something what I deemed off plan, then I would just go into this whole frenzy eating. I haven't done that. And the reason that I do no sugar, no flour is because I have this thought that I'm addicted to sugar. And as I work through the thought process, it's like, because I always felt like sugar was in control of me and that I couldn't control myself around it. But as I do more and more thought work, I realize that it's just a decision that I choose not to have it because I don't like the way it makes me feel. For example, I choose not to drink red wine because the tannins don't make me feel well. So I choose not to do it. But I still have a lot of fear and anxiety around sugar. And I have all those old principles of OA, of I'm powerless over food. I feel like I've grown past that, but I need help. Kind of like some guidance in terms of doing the thought work to get beyond that.
Okay, so you say you have fear. What are you scared
That I'll lose control if I eat sugar.
of? Okay.
That I'll just go into this full binge.
Is that true?
It used to be true, but I haven't tested it. I haven't consumed sugar, so I don't know if it's still true. That's my fear that it's, that. I thought about that doing that. What is it called, Christy? That worksheet,
Tedious and powerful.
that tedious and powerful worksheet, and sitting with sugar and working through and see how it works. But
You
again,
can do
fear of
that, but I
decision.
also think, I mean, it would just be really good for you to, excuse me, to just plan, an exception of sugar and, a dessert or whatever, and plan it, eat it, enjoy it, move on.
And not to make it this big dramatic thing.
Right. I mean, I know you can do it.
Yeah. And I noticed that I'd like, I realized after I went to camp that I really wasn't planning any exception meals, that I was really having a restrictive diet. And I realized I'm not losing this as I'm going to live it. And so now I've actually gotten a lot better about eating different kinds of foods and stuff. The
But
things that are not.
you're still living in fear.
I am, yes.
And you need to, it's just time to face your fears.
Okay, so just plan the
And
exception. Yeah.
yeah, what comes up when I tell you just do that?
I'm actually curious to see if all the bullshit that I've been telling myself all these years is actually true.
And the thing is that it doesn't have to be true if you don't want it to be true, because they were all just thoughts. I'm addicted to sugar is a thought. Sugar has power over me is a thought. None of that is like physiologically true. You know, I mean, maybe, you know, maybe when, and I don't know very much about that Overeating Anonymous, but I mean, I think it kind of goes along with the same addiction.
Yeah, it's 12-step based.
Yeah.
12-step based. Yeah. It's based on AA.
And, but, you know, and so you can think whatever, you know, you can think what you want, but it's just, you know, those are all thoughts. Those are, and especially now that you've been no sugar, no flour, and you've gotten the sugar out of your system. I mean, I just think it would be really interesting and just, you know, kind of coming from that place of curiosity, like, let's just try this. You know, it sounds like you've done that with wine. Like, you know that, you know, you've had wine, you know, it doesn't make you feel great. And, you know, you've kind of made your decision on that. It's time to just make the decision on, I mean, and wine is sugar just like anything else, but, you know, it's time to just make the decision on, you know, so for example, what would you plan?
Because now my eating has, my thoughts about, like, I was telling Christy, we had like a slumber party, and I was talking about that I'm really just enjoying, I'm not in a rush to lose weight anymore, mm-hmm. because I'm really just enjoying the process of falling in love with myself, and I honor my body now. So I feed myself high quality food. So if I'm going to have an exception, I'm going to get a beautiful piece of like gourmet chocolate.
Yeah.
That's what I would have.
Yeah.
You know, as a luxury.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be like a Snickers bar, because I think that's bullshit.
Well, I mean, and that's, you know, and that's you, and that's fine, but you know, it can be anything, but it's just, it's just like, okay, this is my next thing to kind of work on. This is my next thing to figure out. And, you know, you just be very intentional about it, plan it. You could even do some kind of future self stuff where it's like you kind of even visualize yourself eating it, you know, how you're going to feel, you know, enjoying it, and, you know, how you want to feel at the end of the, you know, the experience, so that you can really visualize, like, you know, not going into that spiral of, you know, oh, I've had this sugar, now I can have this, 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 and this, you know, that kind of binge mentality. But then how do you want to think at the end of the exception? You know, like, okay, I really enjoyed that. Exceptions can be part of my life. You know, I'm ready to move forward with the rest of my plan for the day, or, you know, whatever thoughts would serve you at that point. But kind of doing all that ahead of time so that you can really visualize how it will go. And then just, you know, like you said, kind of coming from a place of curiosity. Now, there's still a chance. I know for me, sometimes I do not feel great like the next day, or I don't feel, you know, or my stomach is messed up. And, but that's, I know that's part of the deal, you know, when I decide to have whatever I choose to have. And here's the other thing. These are all just choices, right? Like at the very beginning of the call, you said, you said, I adhere to no sugar, no flour. I think it's real important for our language to be like, and I think you're there where it's just like, I'm choosing all of this. I'm okay. Not, you know, no one's putting this on me. No one is forcing me to, you know, give up anything. It's just, I'm choosing all of this for my life, for my body, for my health, all that kind of stuff to get the results that I want ultimately. So just, you know, kind of really being aware of your language around that.
Yeah, I think that I'll be more cognizant of the language, because I think mm-hmm. that's true. That's how I want to live my life. And I didn't think about visualizing my future self after consuming that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the nugget that I needed, because mm-hmm. I think I was so focused on in the process. Like, that's why I wanted to do that worksheet. But I think it's going to be more beneficial for me to do writing on future self and what mm-hmm. I want the process to be and how I want it to look at the end.
Yeah, it's all, the tedious and powerful worksheet is really good too, but it's more for like determining if like something is really worth a you know, an exception and things like that. But I mean, I think you know that you're really going, but I mean, I don't know. It'd be interesting to look at that worksheet and kind of, you know, what it is like, you know, you kind of analyze every bite that you take and kind of, so you could still do that in the process of this exception. And you could, you know, really just think, okay, you know, is this really as good as I remember it? Is this really worth it to me? And, you know, it may not be in the end, and that's okay. You just learn something and you move forward. So, you know, but yeah, just, I mean, it's all about just being really curious, being really open and willing to learn from this, whatever it is, you know, at the
end. Yeah, that's where I am. I'm definitely curious to see if this is even true. These, because it's like, Corinne's always challenging us. She'll say, you know, when she's coaching people, well, why do you believe that? I mean, and so I don't really have an answer why I believe that I'm a dictator. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've just lived my life with that thought for such a long time. I don't even know where it started or if it's even true or it serves me anymore, right? That thought even
serves me. Right. I mean, you know, yeah, you can believe it if you want to, as long as you like your reason for believing it, where it's like, you know, if you've just decided that, you know, it doesn't feel good in your body. I mean, you can say you are addicted to, or you can just say it just doesn't, you know, it's not part of my protocol, or it just doesn't serve me, or however you want to say it, but you just want to like your reason and you want that thought to, you know, to feel good.
Yeah. I want to like why I'm choosing to do it. Not because if I think the whole, you know, the 12-step program is that you're powerless over something. And mm-hmm. I just don't feel like I'm powerless over anything. Yeah. I just feel like it's a choice that I'm struggling with kind of the tenets of the program. And I know it's helped, you know, millions of people mm-hmm. all over the world. But for me and where I am, I'm just at a different place. And so I'm really just analyzing all my thoughts, my past thoughts, my current thoughts, and asking myself, do these thoughts serve me on who I want to be, like as my future self?
And
I don't want to be the victim of anything.
And is it okay that, you know, do you want to believe that maybe that program is not for you, or like, you know, maybe that program is wrong in terms of, you know, what they say? And are you okay with that?
That's another piece that Christy and I were talking about. It's like, I'm not sure if this serves me any longer.
Right.
You know, it's, and so I think there's some, maybe some guilt about that, or some also fear. You know, there's a lot of things I need to work through. I think there's two pieces. There's actually the sugar piece. And I think that's, you know, this, my relationship with this program or my thoughts about this program. I think it's twofold right now.
Yeah, it's twofold. And so just definitely work on both of those, because it's like, I mean, you could just think about that program. You could just say, you know, it's not for me. You know, it doesn't even have to be like they're wrong or they don't know what they're talking about or whatever. You could just decide, you know what, it's not for me. It's helped others and that's great, but it's not for me. And then just, you know, just move on from that. And here's the other deal. Cause before I forget, I want to say, you know, you can definitely plan this exception, but you don't have to. You can just decide that sugar is not for you, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like you have to prove to yourself that sugar, you know, isn't for you by planning this exception. You have the power, talking about power, you have the power to just decide, you know what, sugar is not for me, or, you know, whatever thought serves you, and then you can just move forward and not live in fear anymore. But, you know, because doing this exception is like the action, right? You know, it's like you can just think and feel a certain way about sugar and just decide, you know, I'm not going to live in fear of it anymore. I'm not going to, I just choose not to eat it. And, you know, you feel confident or, you know, whatever, decisive or whatever it is. And then you're just done. So it's, you know, it's not the action that's going to, you know, to kind of decide things for you. It's your thoughts and feelings. So
that's an aha for me. I didn't think about it that way. Okay.
It's like, you don't have to do the action to change, you know, to change your, I'm not explaining it well, but I think you know what I mean. Like, you know, you don't have to do that. It's like, because the action is just going to cause you to change your thoughts and feelings about sugar, you know?
And I can change my thought without having,
yeah, exactly. You could just do that without doing the action. So, yes. So it's just, I mean, and that kind of reminds you how much power you have, that, you know, it's just a matter of changing your mind, and nothing outside of you. You don't need anything outside of you to change your mind and to change your life, really. So, okay.
Well, I think that's what it is for me today. Thank you so much.
All right.
I appreciate your help today.
Y'all have fun. Bye. All right. Okay. See ya. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Vicky. Oh, I got to take notes. Okay. Let's see. Leah. Vicky. Okay. Oh, that's Vicky. There's James.
Like running. I was like, oh my gosh, she's calling on me. And I didn't have my notebook.
Oh, all God. Right. Hello. Take a breath. You're fine. Yeah, right.
Well, that was my exercise for the day. First of all, your hair looks really good. I don't know what you did.
I got some bangs here, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Looks good.
Yes, I love it. I love it. I've had a lot of fun with it, so.
Awesome.
All right. How are you? What's up?
Oh, I'm good. Let me put these glasses on. So I'm hoping you can help me. I'm not sure what the right wording is. I'll give you an example of something that Corinne helped me with right when I first started. I was going on vacation, and typically when I used to go on vacation, I would cut. I'd be good, maintain my food, and then somehow just totally cave in, and then it would take, I don't know, 6 months or a year to decide to get back to eating well. And I came up with a simple solution that I would have my 24-hour plan sheet sitting on my desk when I came back from vacation, and it was like such a miracle. It was like such, what a game changer. So no matter what happened on vacation, oh, you're right, that's right, this is what I do. So like I no longer fear going on vacation. So I kind of need maybe something like that with relation to dealing with my mom. So I've done a lot of TDLing, and I've had a lot of aha moments or whatever. But I think what I've gotten to is just over the last couple of days is that just like I'm going to keep going on vacation and probably, you know, end up maybe not adhering or whatever, I can always come back to it. I need that kind of thing too, because my mother has a pattern of behavior. That could be my circumstance, I suppose. And I'm getting a little bit better about being less affected by it. But I just want to be able to maybe come back faster to the before I go crazy. I don't know. I don't know if you need details or whatever. But
well, I'm thinking like, okay, so maybe there's weird sound, but I'm just gonna keep talking. You said that there was like a pattern that is circumstance. So, but it almost sounds like, I mean, is that neutral for you that she has a pattern of behavior, let's say?
Well, you know, I've gotten to the point where, and I really believe that she is doing the best she can with the knowledge she has and where she is. And I don't know if that's neutral or not. I do get upset, and then I'm able to, I realize, and everybody around me, my brother, sister, husband, realize this is going to be how it's going to be.
But well, that's your thought about it, that she's doing
okay.
She can. But what she does in terms of, you know, she does this, and then she does this, and then she does this, that is totally, totally neutral. Just her actions.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it can be neutral, or in my mind, maybe you can help me figure out how to make it neutral.
I think that's important, yeah, because I was just thinking, like, before you can really work on, you know, kind of your thoughts and feelings around what it's really just her, you know, her choices, what she does, and everything are totally, totally neutral. Like,
okay,
facts. They're just facts.
And I'm getting better at, I'm maybe getting calmer about it. So maybe I'm heading towards neutrality. I don't know.
Okay. So let's say, so I think I do need a little bit more information.
Okay, sure. I'll share information.
Yeah, just kind of tell me like
absolutely
kind of pattern.
Well, so the thing that it is that she's been married 6 times, and the time number 4, 5, and 6 ended in really, really, really poorly. Like, I had to pick her up from jail one time, which just left me kind of shell-shocked. It wasn't her fault. I mean, she didn't do what he said she did, but it's her fault that she was married to him. And then the other one was, the last one was an alcoholic, and he became physically inappropriate with me and apparently other people as well. And I set boundaries and things like that. And then now they're divorced. That was like a year and a half ago. And she's dating again. So, and she, you know, when she told me some time ago, maybe 8 months ago or something, that she's looking for companionship, and I knew it was going to happen because it's her pattern. She can't be alone. She needs to fix somebody and all that stuff. And I get it. But I haven't wanted to meet him because I'm like, I don't feel like becoming vested again. And I'm no longer that people pleaser person that feels like, oh, I have to welcome him into the family and make sure that my, nah. So I'm like, and now it became apparent that he fits the pattern of there's going to be some issues. So I'm like, all right, now what do I do?
Okay. So let me get
is that enough information or too much? I'm sorry.
No. And we've coached on this before, so I'm,
I know.
Yeah. You kind of reminded me kind of what.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it would be good to.
Please help me. Yeah, I have so many days of writing, and I've gotten better at certain things. And do you know who Byron Katie is?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So I actually, in order to get to some compassionate place, I actually did the 4 questions. I'm like, all right, that gave me a lot of relief and kind of led me to this point of getting back on track faster. So I need some help.
Okay, we'll get you some help. Let's
thank you.
So, mother, she has a boyfriend, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I heard a few thoughts there in your when you were explaining it, like he's following the typical pattern.
Right.
He's, this is happening again.
Right.
That kind of stuff. And yeah. I just don't think any of that, is really serving you.
It doesn't. I agree.
Yeah. So what if you thought what if he didn't follow the pattern, what if he's not following the pattern? I mean, you don't know that, right? You don't know. You can't look into the future and know that
it's true, happen,
right?
That's true.
So what if you just thought, I have no idea what's going to happen.
Right.
Or something like that. Or, I don't know if he's going to follow the typical pattern or not.
Yeah, I don't know for sure.
But
the magic eight ball says probably yes. Yeah. Just the two or three things that have happened so far. So, I don't know. And that's what I worked with on the 4 questions with Byron Katie. I don't know for sure.
Right.
And I got to the point that if it happens, you know, when you do the turnaround or whatever, I'll be there for her. to clean it up.
But you're still kind of like operating on this assumption that you're going to have to clean up. And that's going to happen. And so you're waiting. It's like you're just
I am
waiting for the shoe to drop.
Yeah. Okay.
And you know, that's not how you want to live, right?
No, I don't.
So what can you think instead that it's like something like, you know, I'll be there. I mean, I'm there for her. You know, not even like I'll be there for her. Because that's still kind of that language, like something's
going to happen. Right. Mm.
Just like, I'm there for my mom.
Mm-hmm. I am.
Some sort of kind of present moment, present language, where it's, you know, it takes the, you know, the waiting for something to happen kind of out of it.
Okay. I'm open. I'm waiting for something to fall over me. Go, oh, okay. I can grab onto that. So, I mean, I know that I cannot predict the future. So that part I'm in on, and I guess maybe it's just all the, the PTSD and that's a thought.
Yes.
Granted. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just, it's something like, I mean, I'm just going to, you know, kind of
throw out whatever.
Yeah, just throw some. It's like,
please.
What if your mom totally did something totally different this time? I mean, open up your mind to that like,
sure.
You know, she could, something could, you know, happen in a totally different way this time.
Right.
Don't know.
That'd be amazing.
This man may, you know, be the perfect person for her to live the rest, you know, the rest of her life with. Mm-hmm. You know, just really kind of opening your mind to that. Like, how could I just, you know, think of that with my mom? You know, I want the best for my mom. And
I do.
Is the best. How could this guy be the best thing for my mom? You know, and just, I'll be there for her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like don't even add like, you know, no matter what happens.
Or right.
That kind of stuff, because it's just like that kind of cracks the door open for your brain.
Right.
You know, oh, well, what could happen?
Right.
You know? And it's just the whole thing of like, just because something has happened six times or whatever in the past, does not mean
it can't change.
Well, Corinne said, what'd she say? The past is our teacher, not our fortune teller, right? It doesn't it doesn't predict the future.
True.
And so here's the thing. Okay. I'm kind of like having just a light bulb moment here.
Please.
Like, take your mom out of the situation.
Okay.
It's like you're thinking about how you kind of be selfish for a minute. Like,
okay.
I don't want to go through this again.
I don't. Right.
You know? And so like, and I have control over that. So
right.
I know what happened in the past and it was, you know, all this stuff that happened.
Right. And
I have the power to do something different in the future.
Okay.
Learn from the past. And mm-hmm. So, I mean, because again, you're the only one that you can control. And I almost think kind of somewhere in you, it's like you are thinking that maybe you can, you know, help change this for your mom or fix this or whatever. And it's like, no, only you want to do it differently this time. She may do it the same.
Right.
You want to do it differently. And so that's where you work, like where you work.
That's I'm 100% on board with. And I just kind of got to that in my last couple of TDLs, that because I've the whole people pleasing thing that I did with numbers, blah, blah, blah. I haven't met him. And she asked me, you know, when they started dating, if I wanted to meet him and check him out. And, you know, I did get invested in the last couple, and she had red flags, and that's, she likes to believe she can change that and whatever. So I, you know, I guess I don't have to rush into making this person feel welcome or whatever. I feel like kind of just saying, why don't, he has kids, you know, that are probably my age. Why don't you go ahead and let his kids become, get on board with this? And, the, you know, it's because that's where the issue I foresee could be, before I get invested. That, I mean, so she's not used to seeing that for me, because I've always been that person that, yeah, that's great, happiness. And I'm like, oh, I'm tired. So I do like that. And that's an unusual feeling for me, to not be that person.
What is the thing?
Oh, it's people pleaser all the way, because with the last...
Well, no, but like, what is this new feeling now that you have? About doing something.
It's kind of like you said, I want to be selfish. I want to protect myself from all this effort I have put in.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like, I'll be ecstatic if this works out, right? She deserves to have somebody that loves her and takes care of her. And vice versa, because I know she's that person. So instead of always, it's been our family and it's me leading the way of accepting the last X amount of people, I'm kind of tired. So.
And that's okay. Are you okay with, you know, feeling that and just deciding that you're going to do something different this time?
Yeah, I am okay with that. And I want to be nice. I don't want to be, you know, bitter about it, which I know that I could come off like, listen, what are you doing? So I could have the mindset of, I don't know what's going to happen, but at least my action, I like my action to change to protect myself. And why don't you work on whatever you have with him and his kids? I don't know. Nice way to say that. I mean,
well, and then, here's the deal. You don't have to say anything.
Okay.
You don't have to give her a suggestion on what to do at all. That's her decision.
Okay, but she keeps saying, you know, oh, I'm surprised you don't want to meet him because they went on a cruise. You don't want to check him out or whatever. I'm like, not really. You know, I said it like that, so it wasn't like, you know.
You could be a royal bitch about it if you want to. You know, it's it's your choice to be nice about it, but you just say, no, I'm good.
That's what I said. I'm like, no, I'm good. And she was, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, and that's, you know, and like, she's going to have thoughts about that, right? She's
going to
have judgments about that and what she said. And that's, you know.
And that's okay.
That's okay. And that's nothing that you can control or change.
Right.
But that's you coming from this place of, you know, selfish in a good way, right?
Right.
And that's just your choice.
Right.
But I think for you, it's also like, you know, just knowing that, you know, people are going to have thoughts about what you're doing.
Yeah.
But that's the reality, and that there's absolutely nothing you can do about that.
Right. I'm okay with that, because and I explained to her way back when she told me she was dating somebody, and I'm like, all right. I mean, I kind of knew it was going to happen because I accidentally saw her computer. I wasn't snooping, but I saw something came in from one of the dating sites. I'm like, oh, so I was a little prepared. And she told me, and I'm like, well, okay. And she's like, oh, you don't seem so happy about it. I'm like, well, I said, I'm not really happy about it. And then she was used to me being on board. And I'm like, she's like, wow. I'm like, look, mom, I'm like, you do what you need to do. And just because I'm not okay with it doesn't mean I don't love you. I said, I don't love the behavior, but I love you. So she has a hard time with that concept, but I'm okay with it.
Okay.
So, okay. So all right.
Is there anything you're not okay with at this point? Because you're still, you know.
Yeah, I know. I'm working. That's why I'm like, I feel like this is going to be a little bit longer term work. Like, I feel like I'm going from McDonald's to chicken and broccoli. Yeah. I'm like, I need some progression. So
yeah.
I can definitely do the selfish part. And, but I don't,
you know, again, this is like selfish in a good way.
In a good way. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I get it. No. I mean, also, I get it.
Also love, right? Love for right. her.
I do love her.
Yeah.
Right.
And you do. So, but yeah, I think it's just going to, for you, it's just going to take some time because it's going to be these kind of conversations that you have with her. And these, you know, just as time goes on, you know, you're just going to be addressing this at different times and you're just going to be, you know, making a choice in terms of how you respond or not. You know, so I think for you, the A line, it will be really important because, okay. you know, it's just like, okay, when, you know, when she calls me and asks this or that, you know, how do I want to respond? I think maybe we talked some about this last time where it was just like, you know, you want to kind of anticipate how,
right.
you know, how you want to respond and just be very, you know,
right.
it's going to be uncomfortable at first because you
right.
are doing something totally new. This is just like, you know, losing weight or anything else. Right.
It's right.
Like your brain is so used to going to, you know, the you know, waiting for this shoe to drop thing.
Right.
Like, oh, this yeah. is here we go again. And it's like, okay, I'm going to do something different this time. And so
okay.
I'm just going to keep, you know, keep going and it's going to be uncomfortable, but it's for me. This is for me.
Right.
And I think that's important to remind yourself, like, you know, she's okay. doing what she wants to do. Right.
Right.
And so you know, and what she thinks is best for her.
Right.
And so you deserve to do the same for you.
Right. Yes. I'm just writing that down.
Yeah. Cause I think that's good for you to remember. And then that will lead you to, you know, the actions that you know you need.
Okay. Well, and the best thing I was thinking of right now, at least around that seems to be my most, I'll call it hot button or whatever, is that I'm going to work on just pausing at this point because I feel like I'm have such an automatic thought process that at a minimum, if I pause before I at least verbalize something, I may just say to her, I need to think about that. And then let me get back to you, you know?
Yeah,
so
I think that's definitely part of your A line where it's just okay. like, because those thoughts, you know, are going to come in, you know,
right.
those old thoughts, the, you
right.
know, like you said, kind of the PTSD, right? Like it's
right.
going to come in first. And so you'll need some time to kind of say,
right.
no, I'm not thinking that anymore. I'm just thinking, you know, that I love her right. and that I'm here for her.
Right.
And then, you know, and I'm doing what's best for me now.
Yeah, that's a good one. I didn't think about phrasing it like that.
Yeah. Because I think for you, I mean, in your models, especially like when you're doing a model on someone, you know, when like your mother or someone else is in the C line,
right?
You want to eventually get to what are you making it mean about you? You know, you want to be selfish, right? When you're doing
right.
models, like you want to kind of come up with your thoughts about them, but then kind of turn the mirror around and look at yourself and say, okay, what am I making this mean about me? And you know, and you know, how I behave and how I react or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you want those thoughts to be about you.
Yeah. I can see what that has been in the past because I grew up being the firstborn people pleaser, peacemaker. And so, I'm changing that role.
Yes.
And, it's weird for everybody to see,
yeah,
including myself.
But yeah, you can, like, it sounds like that thought, like you're doing what's best for you.
Right.
No matter, you know, regardless of what happened, you know, in the past,
mm-hmm.
the way you grew up, the past experiences,
right.
you know, she has had, you know, the other marriages she has had and all of that.
Right.
Like
right.
there's, you know, nothing wrong with doing something new and doing
right.
what's best for you.
Yeah.
So it's just, that's where the work is. And it's, again,
right.
it's uncomfortable. It's, It's your brain is just going to go crazy because it's so used to doing this other stuff. So,
yeah,
but that's where the work is. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that thought though. I'm doing what's best for me. That is a weird one for me. Yeah. Like, no, like, so like, oh, what a concept.
And I mean, and do some even around that thought, right? Like, what do you make that thought mean? Do you make that mean that, you know, you're being selfish, like in a not good way, or that you're,
oh no, I feel like, wow, that's about time.
Okay. Well, there you go.
That was a good one. I'm like, oh, I'm just so used to being the problem solver and the fixer and the whatever. I'm like, oh, what if I'm not? And everybody has to clean up their own mess or whatever. I'm like, wow.
Wow. Does it just kind of feel, I know when I find a thought, it just, I just like feel the weight coming off.
That was a good one. No, that was a really good one.
Yeah.
I guess I had that kind of action, but I never really had that thought to kind of encompass it. And so I was like, and they're not mutually exclusive. Like, I can do what's best for me and she can do what's best for her. And I can still love her, and whatever she feels about me, she may be angry or disappointed or whatever. That's okay. Yeah. For me, I'm okay with that, but
yeah.
So that's my new role. I love that one.
Okay. Awesome.
I'm going to brand that on my forehead.
But also kind of come up with, like you said, like, what if I don't have to solve everybody's problems? I mean, there's all those little thoughts that kind of, you know, come off of that. And so some more writing on that where it's, you know, I don't have to this, and this, you know, I can do this and, you know, this instead, you know, so really kind of expand on that thought because it sounds like something that's really resonating.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm like, I'm telling you what, I have lost hundreds of pounds of mental bullshit since I've been with you guys.
Awesome.
The cheapest therapy I've ever had.
That's the best compliment you could give.
I'm not kidding. And it's just, I think this is my fourth time doing a Zoom or something like that since I've joined, not October of, what was last year, 2018, so 2017. I just get so much out of everybody else. I mean, we all have more or less similar issues. I'm like, oh, there it is, you know, so.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
From each other. All right. Awesome.
Right. Thank you so much.
All right. Talk to you later, Vicki.
All right. Bye. Thank you, Betsy. Bye-bye.
All right, Lori. Hey, let me unmute you. Oh, hold on. There we go.
Sorry.
Yes, I can hear you.
Not used to talking on these. Everything's muted.
Okay. All right. How are you? What's going on?
I'm doing okay and yet having a rough time at the same time. So last night I had an overeat at dinner and I was really puzzled by it at first, but when I did my TDL, I realized that I was having a very difficult conversation with my husband over dinner, or rather he was talking about something that's very difficult for me. Mm-hmm. And I know that at one point he said something and my heart just started racing. And in retrospect, I think that the overeat was an emotional eat because I was trying not to feel what was going on at the time. So basically what's going on is my husband is up for a job in another state. And we're looking at the prospect of having to just move. If, you know, if the money comes through, it's a good enough offer and we think we can make it work. I mean, he's really, really excited about it because he's been doing the same job for probably 18 years. Mm-hmm. And now he's finally had an opportunity to move up and do something different. So he's really excited. I'm not there. I have a lot of concerns about it and we've talked about it. But what I struggle with is that I know that if I tell him I don't want to do it, that he just won't do it. And I told myself I wasn't going to cry. I don't want to hold him back. And I know that it's his decision to make and that he's a grown ass man. And if he wants to set it aside and stay here, then, you know, that's his decision. But at the same time, you know, I don't want it to hurt our relationship. Mm-hmm. So I have a lot that I'm trying to work through, a lot of layers to it. Cause there's the financial layer, there's the, you know, uprooting everything layer. There's the, I have to find another job on the other end layer. It's just like, I'm not really sure where to start untangling it and getting to a point where I can make a decision and be in a good space about it and talk about it without feeling really emotional.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, but the reality is that he has not been offered the job yet, or has
no,
he?
Not yet. No.
Okay.
And it's, there's a possibility that they may not offer him enough money, you know, because we've talked about it before. The cost of living, it's in California and we're in Texas. Mm-hmm. So the cost of living out there is way higher than it is here. Mm-hmm. And part of our, both of our concerns is quality of life. I mean, we live a pretty comfortable life here. And when we move out there, we won't be able to buy a house right away. We'll probably have to move into somewhere temporary for a couple of years. It'll probably be small and really expensive. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of concerns that, you know, we're facing with it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, well, first off, you know, it's, you know, it's not a reality yet. And so mm-hmm. that's, you know, you're, you know, that's kind of where you are. But I think it's just important for y'all to kind of sit down together and, you know, and kind of do this process in terms of like the pros and cons, right? Mm-hmm. Because you know, I think it's a decision that you, you know, sounds like you want to make together, mm-hmm. And that you don't want to, you know, just kind of tell him, you know, you said, you know, he may just kind of do what you want him to do, but it sounds like you want him to kind of make the decision with him together, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's just, I mean, at this point, it's like, I mean, you all could go ahead and kind of go through that pros and cons, you know, if he were to be offered the job, or you could just wait and say, you know, it's not even a reality yet. I'm not going to worry about, you know, I'm not worried, but I'm not going to even go there until it's a reality. So it's just like some decisions that you're just in a lot of confusion right now. And I think that's kind of where you were last night. Like, you just didn't want to kind of feel all of the, you know, just all of the emotions that, you know,
yeah,
fear. It was, I mean, it really kind of sounded like you were having some fear about.
Mm-hmm. I'm definitely afraid. And part of it is that, I mean, this has been, the hiring process started in December.
Mm-hmm.
So this has been a long process of waiting and seeing. And it's just, I feel like I was doing pretty well for a while, just kind of trying to, like you said, just kind of take it as it goes and mm-hmm. just wait and see what happens. And we talked about it and we did the financial side of things. So we have target numbers, you know, for what, you know, is okay and what is better. And oh, it's like, I feel like we're getting close to the end and the mm-hmm. immediacy of it is really starting to amp me up again.
Okay. So what
the closer we get to having to make the decision, yeah. the harder it seems to be on me.
Okay. So what if you were just to tell him today, hey, I want to sit down. Like, so if this happens, let's sit down and kind of really make a decision on what we would do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that something that you would like to do?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we've had that discussion, you know, early on in the process. That's, you know, like I said, we identified the numbers that we would need to make in order to make the move, mm-hmm. For the financial side of things. Mm-hmm.
So it just, almost sounds like, you know, there may not be anything left to discuss, right?
Yeah, there may not be.
Yeah. And it's almost like for you, you just need to kind of work on your thoughts and feelings around this in mm-hmm. terms of.
Yeah. And I tried to do a model of mm-hmm. a few weeks back where I took the, I'm trying to remember it because I'm having some technical difficulties right now, so I can't get to it. But I was trying to change the thought of that was making me afraid.
Yeah.
Of, you know, like the unknown future. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I'm afraid. And mm-hmm. I was trying to change it into, you know, there's a world of possibility out there. And that could maybe make me feel more curious or mm-hmm. thoughtful. And that's kind of where I ended up with that. And
it could even be more of a bridging thought. Like, I'm working on believing that this could be, you know, good for us, or I'm working on believing that, you know, this might, would be a great opportunity or something like that. Like, really, I mean, not even, you know, going to, you know, this is going to be a great opportunity or something, you know, it's just like really just kind of opening. Like, I think for you, I'm going to put a marker that works here. Let's see. I'm not doing well with the markers, but I think for you, it's really focusing on the feeling. Oh, that's better. Okay. Like open, curious,
mm-hmm.
you know, willing
okay.
to, you know, to just explore
mm-hmm.
you know, just the possibilities. Right. And yeah. so what thought do you need to, what thought could you think to kind of get to that place of openness and curiosity?
Good things might be waiting there.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I don't know. I don't know what's on the other end, but that's kind of scary too. Like, could be great.
It could be like, so these bridging thoughts, and this is for everybody who's listening. Like, I love the concept of these bridging thoughts, because like, you can't just go from, you know, to, you know, this fear to like, you know, like, oh, this might be just, you know, the best thing ever. And so it's like, you could add, I'm working on believing, or I'm starting to believe, or maybe this might be, you know, just even kind of just some thoughts like that. And then, you know, put your thought in there. Or it could be, I don't know what's going to happen, and that's okay. Like adding, and that's okay at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I think for you, you know, your kind of your thought that's leading to fear right now is something like, you know, this is unknown. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can turn that around real quick and just be like, and that's okay, because everything's not supposed to be figured out yet. You know, everything's
right.
not supposed to be known. Mm-hmm. And so, and again, you're going from fear to just open and curious. You're not going from fear to, you know,
right.
happiness and excitement.
Happy and accepting.
Yeah. yeah. You're just at this point, you know, you're in this bridging place, in this middle place where it's just like, okay, I'm just going to open up my mind to how could this maybe be good for us? How could this be something that, you know, would be a new, you know, a new chapter in our marriage and all that kind of stuff. So, so I think that's where you are right now. You're just kind of in this middle place, and you are in this middle place because this is just a possibility right now. It's nothing for sure yet.
Yeah.
And so I think it's good when you're in this place of not really knowing. I mean, your C is really like, you know, there's this possibility of a new job, or maybe like a possibility of a move.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nothing that's really for sure yet. That's, you know, that's where these bridging thoughts, like, I don't know what's going to happen and that's okay. You know, I'm mm-hmm. working on believing that this might be good for us, you know, that kind
okay.
of stuff. And then your actions, what could some of your actions be in this model? Right, just right now where you are today.
Maybe doing some research on the area.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I mean, I already did some. I mean, we looked at houses and neighborhoods and things.
Or it even could be like
job postings.
Yeah, I mean, it could even be like, even kind of inaction. We're like, you know what, I'm not gonna even think about this, you know, I'm not gonna really, you know, go around and around, I'm not gonna worry, I'm not gonna like, you know, think about what might happen, because we just don't know right now.
Sure.
Okay. So I'm going so to
an action could be, I'm not going to stress about it, and
right, I'm just like, I'm not going to like focus on some other things in my life, you know, I'm gonna go and do this or that, just so that I'm not sitting around thinking, well, if he gets the job, what happened, you know. And
unfortunately, I haven't really had any issues with like just being freaked out about it and overeating. It was just that night when we were talking about it at dinner, I just kept eating. Like, I just mm-hmm. didn't stop. And I didn't eat till I felt sick, but, you know, I definitely stopped and I was like, wow, I definitely went past +2.
Yeah. So for you, that is, I mean, that's all about, you know, like not beating yourself up, not like, but just, you had food right there in front of you, right? And you were like, and y'all were talking about it. And so you probably felt that fear come up. Mm-hmm. And then you just had this food right there and you were just like, you know, I don't want to feel this fear right now. I'm just going to keep eating. And so that's, you know, that's pretty.
Do you think I should try to avoid talking about it over dinner or maybe, or try to get myself to a place where I can?
I think, you know, I think it's both. I mean, I think it's like, I think it's up to you. I mean, I think if you want to, I mean, I always encourage everyone to kind of practice, you know, feeling their feelings.
And now that I'm aware of it, that might
now help. That you're aware of it, yes. Yeah. And so, I mean, you know, and it's like, you probably are going to want to have like, a, you know, conversations with your husband while you're eating dinner, right? I mean, you know, you're not, you know, just going to want to eat in silence or whatever most of the time. So I just think it's just, yeah, it's just working on that awareness not right now, because you're probably, you know, it's going to happen again where you're going to be in a conversation with him while you're eating and you're going to be like, oh, here comes that fear again. I'm not going to use that as an excuse to overeat again. I'm just going to, you know, allow myself to kind of sit with this, but then I'm still going to listen to my body and stop when, you know, when I'm at my plus two. So it's just all about the awareness and, you know, and you may not be successful at it at first, right? It just, you know, but you're, you know, you know that you're aware now of what happened and why. And that is like huge. I mean, that's just huge. So, but then you're also practicing, you know, feeling your feelings, feeling the fear, and that's okay. You know, fear is just a, you know, a feeling. It's a vibration in your body. It's not going to hurt you, you know, but our brains think that it's, you know, that we're unsafe and that, you know, we need to cope in some way. So it's just all about kind of being aware of that. And you know, you'll find yourself again at that same place and it'll be like, oh, here I am again. How do I want to handle this differently?
Okay.
Yeah. So, but keep us posted on what happened. I'm interested to see what happens, but I think you've got, you know, a good plan moving forward with, you know, with just staying with these feelings for sure.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much, Betsy.
All right. Take care, Lori.
You too. Bye. All
right, bye. Okay. Oh, the time goes by so fast, y'all. All right. Anna is next in line. Hi.
How are you? So I'm good. So, you know, I was, my mini tribe and I are going through the self-accountability course, just sharing our information. And so I was down there and I was writing like, where do I want to be in a month and 6 months? And, was sharing that, you know, I was so excited when I started in September. And, I mean, I just had that excitement and I felt that again as I was writing and then I lost it. And then I realized it was a coaching time and I was like, I'm just going to raise my hand. So I don't even know what I'm asking for. You know,
when you say you lost it, what do you mean? Tell me more about that.
The excitement, I guess, the kind of the eye on the goal, maybe. You know, holidays came and left, you know, and it took me some time to kind of get back on course. And you know, now there's like my mom is really ill and there's some struggles I have there, but I'm really frustrated with myself. I hate that I cry all the time on these. I'm just really frustrated with myself because I weigh enough, like I should be losing weight. And yet, you know, I've been tracking data. I'm a data analyst. And, you know, I look at my data week over week and like I was on plan twice this week. So guess what? I gained weight. Well, no kidding, right? and so I just don't even know what my question is. I'm just really struggling.
Okay. So let me just ask you a few questions. So do you think weight loss, or your weight loss journey, has to be exciting all the time?
No. I think what should still be exciting is what I'll be in, 30 pounds from now or 60 pounds from now. That's what I think should remain.
And that's kind of what you were journaling about?
Yes.
Now? Okay. So yeah, maybe, but maybe not. What if I said, nope, that's not exciting either?
So if I hit, like, my interim goal is 30 pounds down and that's not exciting?
I mean, that could be exciting, but then it's like, well, you're still just doing the same thing you're doing. You know, you're just still doing those four basics. And, you know, the scale goes down some weeks, not all weeks, and you're just still doing it.
I'll be doing it with a smaller body.
And, you'll have some, some little hits of excitement. Like, you might go shopping and get to buy a smaller size or whatever. And that might excite you for a day or so, but then, a couple days later, I love your face. I'm looking at your face as I'm talking. But then you're back to your four basics. And, and life happens, like you said, family members get sick, people bring in donuts at work, it's like, you got to say, no, it's not on my plan today, and then the smaller size is kind of not super, that, like, those are just your pants now. So you just keep going. That's your size. I mean, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I guess that's true. Somebody gave me a pair of jeans. Thank you, Andy. And I've been wearing them because they're 14, which is very exciting for me. And yet I'm wearing them. It does remind me, but you're right, it becomes less exciting. Yeah. It's just still kind of cool for me, newer. But
I think so. Have you done the you probably have gone in the OBS. It talks about the four stages of weight loss.
Yeah, and I've thought of that, and I kind of, like, after the first month, kind of spent not very long in stage two, but now I feel like I've been in stage two for 2 months. Again,
stage two can be,
but
it, you know, a year.
Pulling me back into stage two, and I'm like, really? And so my pluses are I drink my water, I sleep great. I have been doing my plan, and my plans can be more realistic at times. And then, like, yesterday I had a good plan, and, like, this thing's happening with my mom, and I'm kind of housebound because of my knee, and randomly it was 3:30. Maybe that's not random, because that's a big snack urge time for me that I've, when I'm in my workplace, I work through, and my husband left to get the kids, and my brain just said, time to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And I ate the entire time he was gone, and it crap, and I was like, what? And it even flittered through my mind real quick. Like, what the hell, what are you doing? Why don't you have, if you're really hungry, have an apple that's on your plan, But no, I had all sorts of other things that I don't need to enumerate, but.
So what do you think was going on there? What do you think you were, trying to cover up or trying to not feel, or?
So how I described it was I've been, handling my mom's medical issues for like a month now. I was tired of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think you were probably kind of, finally kind of maybe decompressing from that, or just kind of, wanting some relief, right?
Yeah, and often I'll exercise. That really helps. Mm-hmm. But I dorked out my hamstring on Sunday mm-hmm. at the trampoline park. And so it's like I was stuck, you know. I can't even walk down to my car. So
I think there's so much this, because this is something I've been kind of working on too, where it's like, okay, a lot of times we're just looking for some relief. We're looking for like a break, right? Kind of a mental break, you know, a physical break. And so what is something else that you could have done during that time? Because you were alone in the house, right?
Yeah.
What is something else you could have done just to take a break and get some relief?
So I was working from home. I had finished a project. My husband left to get do running club with the kids. He was gone an hour. I guess I could have, instead of ravaging the kitchen, I could have done some push-ups or do what I did this morning, which was the self-accountability course writing.
But I'm not talking about push-ups. I'm talking about like you could have like laid down on the couch and taken like a real break. Right.
A little meditation or something.
Just lay there. And like, I mean, you could have taken a little nap. You could have laid there and watched like a, you know, trashy TV show and just zoned out for a minute. Because I think even before we started talking about this, I was thinking for you, it's like you're looking for excitement in your weight loss journey, or you're looking for kind of the, you know, the joy there. But where could you find, you know, kind of relief, joy, excitement in other parts of your life?
Other ways. Yeah, I do think of, you know, kind of it's the gold at the end of the rainbow, you know, it's, and maybe that's setting myself up a little bit when the rainbow's not smooth.
I will tell you, when you get to maintenance, you know, there's not even the number on the scale that's your gold at the end of the rainbow anymore. It's just the same number week after week.
And that's why now.
Yeah. So it's just like, you know, you don't even want to set yourself up for looking for that gold, you know, because it's just, it becomes very boring. It becomes very the same thing every day. And it's like, then you don't want to get to, you know, the end of your weight loss journey. And then you have to look for other areas of your life to, you know, to get that excitement. You want to do that now. So that you're not using food for that.
Yeah.
And so, well, I mean, go ahead.
I was going to say maybe for the excitement or just for the relief, for the break, mm-hmm. for the unplugging a little bit, maybe. That is not my forte. I don't know the last time I took a nap or just laid on the couch because, or usually it's, okay, time to clean the refrigerator. Mm-hmm. Time to get those cobwebs or.
Yeah. I mean, like, what do you think about like when I said like, what about just laying on the, I will never forget this because Corinne coached somebody on this. Gosh, it's been probably like a year ago now. And she said, what if you just like sat down on the couch for 5 minutes? And the girl goes, what? Like, I could do that. That would be okay. You know? And I just never forgot that because For some of you all with, you know, with kids and parents, you know, that are ill and things, it's like, that's not even, you don't even entertain that as an option. And what if you did? What do you think about that? What do you make that mean that if you just sat down and sat on the couch for 30 minutes and did whatever you wanted to do?
I mean, if I'm not journaling or tracking or listening to a podcast mm-hmm. or it feels kind of illicit actually.
Mm. Okay. So I want you to do that. I want you to do it. Get like every day. every day, even if it's just like 5 minutes, you know, whatever it is that, well, and I'm not even saying just sit on the couch and do nothing, but like, what is something that you think would give you a little bit of relief, that would give you, would relax you, that maybe you think now is illicit?
Well, sitting on the couch, like, we had a relaxing morning, but, you know, I'm journaling and doing my plan and whatever. So it's only relaxing because I'm not up and doing something.
I think that's important to remember. Like, it's, you want something mentally relaxing too.
Yeah, mentally. I don't know. Just sitting would be good. Maybe a little bit of, you know, deep breathing or relaxation, mm-hmm. kind of the, cause I'll do yoga. I do yoga mm-hmm. once a week, but even, you know, going into Savasana, the corpse pose, mm-hmm. and just laying there and like having your thoughts just kind of go through is really enjoyable. So mm-hmm. maybe I could do something like that. Mm-hmm. Whenever I just need to unplug and not unplug with a bunch of granola bars and
peanut butter. But it's also okay to, you know, I mean, people love to, you know, read these, you know, some of these books, you know, these like trashy novels. And, you know, I love to watch some reality TV every once in a while, you know, but it's also like hobbies. If you have any hobbies that you enjoy, you know, I love to knit and crochet and stuff too. So it's just, you know, it's just like whatever it is that really doesn't even have to produce anything, because it does produce something, right? It produces for you. It produces that kind of letting that steam off a little bit, so that you're not building, and then you know, you're desperate to release the steam, and that's when you're over.
Those are good ideas. Yeah. I know I'd kind of sort of started thinking about, like, my kids have a bunch of crafts that we've purchased over time that are unopened. Like, I could do their little craft and, you know, it just turns off the brain part enough to decompress that little bit.
But also, I mean, I can see it in your face. I can see you kind of, I mean, it's not going to be super relaxing at first, right? It's going to be not going to be like super relieving at first, because you're like, cause your brain's going to go, wait a minute, we're supposed to be cleaning this and doing this, and we could be doing this and this and this. And you just got to redirect your brain and say, no, I am just relaxing. You know, whatever thought would serve you in that moment. Like, nope, I'm doing this for me right now. I'm doing this for myself right now. This is the best thing I can be doing right now. Whatever.
It never occurred to me that that is part of what was going on. And, you know, my husband calls it my oughta list. I ought to be doing this, and I ought to be doing that, and I ought to be. And he's incredibly supportive to not, he's like, just put your oughta list away, you know. Yes. But it didn't occur to me because I'm just thinking back to yesterday, like, I had finished this project. He walked out the door. I can't leave the house. And I sprung up and, you know, just immediately started eating. But there was also going through, like, I ate and tidied, so my auto list was still going, you know. So that's actually helpful, because I can connect that to some other things that my husband's made me aware of about myself, and you know, maybe some of my being housebound a little bit is playing a role too, as well as my worry and stuff.
Yeah, I would like for you to see you do some journaling on that, where it's just like, you know, housebound is your circumstance, right? It's just, but then what are you making that mean about you? Like, I should be, because I'm here, I should be cleaning, you should be doing your auto list, you know? And, it's like, it's okay for you to take a break.
Yeah.
Every once in a while.
That's helpful.
Yeah.
That's very helpful.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, you keep me posted on how it goes with you know, doing that stuff. Because like I said, it's not going to be like super fun at first, but it'll be amazing kind of at the end, kind of how you feel like, okay, I got that relief without, you know, without eating. Right.
Because that's that, you know, my problem is going off plan. My problem is grab assing. And then, you know, that's not helping me with my goals.
Right.
And I know that, I see that, and I'm tracking that, and it hasn't mattered enough because of my other struggles, maybe. So we'll peel the onion.
Okay.
Thank
you
very
much. All about here is peeling those onion, those layers back. So awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Take care. Bye. Okay. Melody, I'm going to get you. I don't know why it keeps, because you've been on for a while. I don't know why you're not at the top of the list, but I'm going to get you on here because you've been waiting a while.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, hey. How are you?
Good. What's up?
Sorry. I got to run to my car where I can have privacy.
Oh, okay. You're fine.
I was like, I'm probably not going to get called on, so I'll just do dishes. And of course,
I
started doing dishes.
Yeah, I kept seeing your name, but it's like it doesn't show you at the top of the list. But I know you've been waiting for a while, so I just clicked on your name. I don't know how it works with the order on the list, but anyway, okay.
Okay. Well, cool. Hey, how are you?
Good.
Betsy, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I'm a newbie, so
awesome.
January, well, and I've actually been out of the loop for the past week because my son just kind of found he has an illness. And so anyway, I've been completely out of the loop and haven't been doing my planning or any of that. Are you still there?
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
Let me charge. So anyway, my question that I've had stored up for about a week now is that, I guess first I should say I haven't done any TDLs or recovery sheets or anything like that, just because I guess I'm not to that part in the program.
Right.
So, but I do notice a lot of things coming up that I know I have to TDL about. I just don't really, I haven't had the time with this family crisis we had this past week. And I have some concerns about Etsy.
Oh, shit.
I have a lot of anxiety, like social anxiety, things like that. And so I think I'm resistant to doing it because I'm scared people are going to find it and see it. It's probably irrational, but.
No, well, anyway. We hear that a lot where, you know,
okay.
Folks are kind of hesitant to write something down because, yeah, someone might find it. And so, you know, there's kind of some easy, you know, fixes to that in terms of like doing it on, you know, on the computer or just, I mean, even writing it and then just, you know, throwing it away. You don't have to keep everything that you write, but.
Right. Yeah. That's what some people were suggesting in my Marco Polo group.
Okay.
But then I think I saw Corinne say somewhere she likes to keep them for a while. Then, you know, I was like, oh no, I have to keep it.
No.
So, okay. Well, anyway. So one of the things I've noticed I do, I have a lot, you know, diet mentality is like my biggest nemesis, you know? And one of the things I do is I'll start thinking about an upcoming event.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like, it doesn't matter what it is. I can create the possibility of an event. Like my best friend who lives here with me, her mother is ill and, like maybe dying. And then I start thinking like, oh my God, there's going to be a funeral and her whole family's going to come in. I haven't seen them in 20 years and they're going to see how fat I am. And I start this whole like obsessive thing, which like gets me into the diet mentality. Like, I'm restricting. I better start going keto. I better start doing low carb, something crazy, you know? And it's, I don't know how to talk myself out of it.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. I'm going to have you hold on a minute because you're kind of cutting out a little bit. Hold on a minute. Let's see. I'm going to stop your video. Can you still hear me? Can you hear
yes,
me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I stopped
uh-huh.
your video just because I think that'll help with the delay or whatever. So, Okay. So talking about social events, and then your brain kind of goes crazy with the fat.
Yes.
Okay. So
yeah. And like hurry up and restrict, because you know something's coming around the corner and people are going to see you and see how fat you are, and you know, people I haven't seen in years. And yeah, I don't know how.
Oh, you're still kind of breaking up. Well, let me just go ahead. I'm just going to go ahead and talk here and kind of give you some ideas on kind of what you can do. Well, first off, so, you know, the reality is that, yes, people are going to see you, right? And you are, you know, and the circumstance,
yeah.
You know, you have this event, people are going to see you, and you are at a certain weight. We could say that. So what do you make that mean about
right? That I'm gross and, oh, she's really let herself go. And, just negative, very negative things.
But you can't, you know, you don't know that that's what they're thinking for sure, right? And you don't, and you can't control what they're thinking no matter what weight you are.
Right.
Do you believe that?
Exactly. Yes, I do. I know I can't control what they think.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I have those tapes, I guess, in my head of what I imagine that they're thinking, because that's what I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's what it is. It's like, it's kind of like they're thinking that, but then I also think that about myself. And so right. It's like really focusing on that, right? Focusing on your thoughts around yourself, because that's something you can't control.
Right.
And that's something that you can work to change.
Yeah.
Do you believe that you can change your beliefs and your thoughts about yourself?
Do I believe that? I feel like I have glimpses of it sometimes, you know, and then sometimes I revert back to my old patterns.
Mm-hmm. And that's totally normal, right? Because, you know, you've got these patterns that have just been reinforced over and over again, you know, over years and years. But right. Definitely something that you can work to change, because how do you think you can, like, improve your thoughts about yourself?
How do I think I can improve my thoughts about myself? This is funny because I'm saying the same thing to my 20-year-old, that he's just running these terrible tapes through. I'm like, you just have to change the tapes. Yet here I am doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. So I guess it really is, I just have to decide
right.
to have a different conversation with myself in my head and say different things to myself.
And also being okay that those other tapes or, you know, those old tapes are going to play, you know, right. and they're probably going to play first, but then you go, you know, at that point you say, nope, you know, I'm stopping the tape because I'm working on believing something new about myself. And the reason I ask you that, it was kind of a trick question, because you know, a lot of people think, well, if I just lose the weight, then my thoughts will be better about myself.
But I absolutely believe that.
Yeah. And the reality is that you've got to improve your beliefs about yourself today, right now, where you are, whatever weight you're at, because, right. you know, you can't, you're just changing your, you know, changing your circumstance to feel better. Otherwise, and that never works. So you've got to, you know, just improve your talk about yourself now as you're losing weight, because you can't, you know, we always say you can't hate yourself on the way down. You can't, you know, talk bad about yourself on the way down. You can't lose weight from a place of hate or from a place of loathing, self-loathing.
Right. Which I guess is what I'm doing with the, you know, anticipation of an event and seeing people.
Right. Right. It's, okay. You know, it's, that's another, you know, kind of reason or excuse for you to kind of run those tapes mm-hmm. again. And, you know, so what could you think differently about like an event coming up?
What could okay. you so my birthday is, I don't know, next week, or it's the 19th of February. So maybe I'll, you know, I'll take like a date that is symbolic and go, oh, here's another birthday. I'll be fat, you know? That's another way I do it too.
Mm-hmm. So how could you think about your birthday this year in a different way?
Well, I guess I'm glad I found PNP so I can think about that. And, you know, that I really have committed to not giving up on that.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't been able to do my 24-hour plans consistently, and things, you know, I've let things get in the way of that. And, you know, I feel a little confused by all the information, but I have definitely committed to not giving up.
Mm-hmm. And so like, so, okay. So can you tell me how old you're going to be this year?
48.
Okay. 48. So, I mean, you could look back at 48 and be like, yeah, 48 was that year that I was losing weight and I was, you know, committed to not quitting, and I was mm-hmm. committed to figuring this out. And that 48th year was amazing, was a doozy, because that was the yeah. one where I found PNP and I figured out this weight loss thing for good.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, and I was at the beginning of my journey and I was just figuring it all out. And now that I'm 49 or 50, you know, I'm right where, you know, I'm at the weight I want to be, and, you know, I feel great and all this kind of stuff. But 48, that was what, you know, that was the year that was the game changer.
Right.
Something yeah. like that, right?
Yeah.
And like, and, you know, and you can look back at pictures of yourself and like at these other events, if they take pictures, and you could be like, gosh, that was when I, you know, was, you know, just losing weight and, you know, really figuring this out and, you know, starting to feel better. And I just decided I wasn't going to quit, you know. I mean, just, it's like you can think really positive things at every single stage of your weight loss journey, right?
Right.
Because you've got to go through all these stages to get to your goal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you buying it? Are you still kind of skeptical? I can't see you, so.
I know. I had a wireless headset on. I took it off. I think it was causing interference. Okay. So
let's push it back on. Let's
see the video back. That might have been it.
Oh, I think I have to ask to start video, and then you can start your video.
Okay.
Here we go. Okay. Because I like to see your face if I can.
So now, yeah, you want to know if I'm buying it. It sounds really great in theory, but I think in the moment when I start like revving my anxiety up, I do. I think it's like, you know, anxiety is all like fight or flight or freeze or whatever they call it. Everything, my brain just freezes and I'm like unable to think like the way you are trying to tell me to mm-hmm. think.
Yeah. And you know? I think for you, it's just like you recognize, I mean, you're totally in the, like the awareness phase right now, which is,
yeah,
you
know, yeah.
Which like give yourself some credit for that. Right. Like you're doing this, you're doing the work, you're in it, you know?
Yeah.
And so when you feel that anxiety coming up, it's like, okay, here we are, you know, and mm-hmm. I'm not going to, you know, to freeze this time. I'm going yeah. to maybe like, you know, that may be a time when you need to like step away from whatever you're doing, you know, or wherever you are, if you can, and just be like, okay, I'm going to do something different this time. I'm going to, you know, let myself just kind of feel this anxiety and be really uncomfortable for a minute. And then I'm going to, you know, you have these new thoughts on your phone, or you have these new thoughts written on a sticky note somewhere or something. And this is where mm-hmm. I'm going to practice these new thoughts, or just, you know, you decide on one thought that really, you know, resonates with you, and you practice that one and you say, okay, you know, this old tape is here, but I am working on a new tape of, mm-hmm. you know, I love myself. I'm working on loving myself. You know, right. I'm right where I need to be in this journey. I'm, you know, I'm working to improve myself, whatever, you know, whatever thoughts will help you and that you can, you know, work on believing or believe in the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's just, you know, it's intentional, it's work, it's, you know, it's something new, it's uncomfortable, but it's so, so totally worth it. And it's absolutely required for you to, you know, to get to where you want to go. It's like, you know, you can't just, oh, I'll lose the weight and then I'll figure out this, all this mental stuff. It's got to be a combination of the two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So could I give you an example of one that I just, like something I just did, and I was wondering if you could do it on your board with me.
Okay.
Like I'm signed up for the retreat and somebody put a countdown clock and I like shit my pants. I was like, oh my God. I mean, like I've gained weight since I started. Okay. Only like a pound or two, but still okay. I went into full panic mode when I saw the countdown calendar. Cause I was like, all these people are so successful and they're doing it and I suck. And you know,
okay. I suck.
Pretty much. Yeah.
That kind of narrowed it down. And then you panic. Well, what other thoughts? That may not be that thought. Maybe didn't.
Oh, you better go back on keto, girl. You better start restricting those carbs. You better start. You know, I don't really exercise like a crazy person. I'm more about restricting the food.
Okay.
And you know, finding the diet that is, you know, gonna make me, you know, totally resistant to sugary treats and anytime, okay. You know.
Let's start restricting. Okay. Camp's, you know, camp's coming up. Let's start restricting. Okay. So panic. So what did you do when you thought this and you felt panic, what did you do?
I start creating unrealistic plans, mm-hmm. unrealistic 24-hour plans. And then I don't stick to them. And then I further beat myself up.
Right.
So.
And so this is a very classic model, right? Because your result is unrealistic planning. You don't follow them.
Yeah. And then it's usually weight gain.
And so then your result is, because your result always proves your thought true. And so you still suck.
I still suck. Yeah.
Because you're making unrealistic plans that you're never going to follow and you're gaining weight. I mean, and you know what I mean? I don't mean, you know, I don't think you suck, yeah. But you know, but it's like, you're proving that thought true. Oh, I suck. You know, let me just do all this crazy stuff that is never going to work. And right. So I can keep sucking.
Yeah.
And right. You know, so if you really just keep believing that you suck, you're going to just keep doing stuff that's going to keep you sucking.
Right.
So it's just, that's how the model works. Like it's, you keep doing things to prove your thought true over and over again. It's just that cycle that goes over and over again, because you know that, I mean, it's just not working. That restriction does not, it's like your brain has this thought error. Like you think that your brain, like for a second, thinks, well, if we just restrict, then we'll lose weight. But that's the error. Like it's just not true. It's totally the opposite. Like when you restrict, you're gaining weight, right? And so it's just that error that you have to say, hey, you know, I need to do the opposite of what my brain is telling me to do. That I need to just keep focusing on these four basics, and that's how I'm going to lose weight.
Right.
So
do I change all that?
Okay. So let's work on your intentional model. So okay. Let's say you could go back and you saw the countdown.
Mm-hmm.
How do you want to feel about that countdown?
Yeah, I mean, gosh, even just thinking about it right now is giving me anxiety.
Yeah. Well, first off, what are your expectations of the retreat? I mean, do you have some sort of expectation for yourself that you want to be at a certain weight at the retreat, or that you want to have lost a bunch of weight or whatever?
I guess I don't have a concrete expectation, which is probably a good point. I mean, I don't have a concrete one and probably not realistic. I think I just imagine I've lost weight, you know, and usually that imagined person is I've lost all my weight. You know what I mean? That's where I think I probably go mentally, but I don't say
all of your weight to go to the retreat.
No, I mean, like when I think about, I want to have lost some weight. I think I probably go to lost all the weight. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think, oh, I would like to have lost 10 pounds by then. I just think, I just want to be skinny by then.
Mm.
You know? Like, it's not realistic.
It's not realistic, right. And so,
but I don't even connect at all.
Yeah, it's like, you know, intellectually, that's not realistic.
Right.
Yeah.
But I don't even think about, well, I don't even ask myself, well, like the questions you're asking me, like, well, what are you expecting?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's your goal? You know, it's just this broad, you know, generalized, just be skinnier thing.
Okay.
You know?
So how do you want to think about the retreat?
How do I want to think about the retreat? I would like to be making progress. You know, like going, I would like the scale to be going in the right direction and feel like, but I guess the whole point of the retreat is to get help. So I'm expecting to have it all figured out before I go get help. You
yeah.
know, like I'm the person who cleans the house before the housekeeper comes, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
So,
I mean, you're on to yourself, right? You're recognizing that this is not the thinking that's serving you before the retreat.
Right.
Yeah.
And the intentional feels Greek. Like, can you spell it out for me? Because I really don't even know what I'm supposed to be thinking, you know?
Well, you can think whatever you want to think about the retreat. You can think, I'm just going to go and learn. And I mean, you can not even like connect it to weight loss or how much you're going to weigh at the retreat.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it okay, can I literally thought... be like, oh, there's the retreat countdown. I am so looking forward to going and learning as much as I can and making friends.
Right. Yeah. I'm not even thinking about that part. I'm just like, oh, how much am I going to weigh by then?
Yeah.
You know? Which is messed up. I realize that.
So like really think about the retreat. I mean, even go back and like read about the retreat and see what we're going to do and stuff and be like, okay, what do I want out of this? That's what I'm going to focus on.
Right.
You know, what do I want to get out of this? Not like what are going to people going to think of me when I go, because I mean, there will be people of all, you know, shapes, sizes, weights, whatever, you know, I mean, it's, no one cares about that. It is, you know, it, we're all just there to learn and like connect with each other.
Right.
So it's like,
yeah,
you know, kind of
that is,
open up your mind to what you really want to get out of the retreat.
Right.
Yeah. And so that's where go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I do, you know, I'm enjoying connecting with women on, around this,
mm-hmm.
you know, I guess it's around the weight stuff, but it's really so much more than that. And I'm excited that we're all working towards something with the same mindset. I've really been missing that in my life mm-hmm. for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
and it's very positive, and it's, I'm getting a lot out of it. And I'm, you know, I am a people pleaser, and a, I have a lot of people in my life that are, you know, just sucking the life out of me, and I've allowed it and cultivated it. And I'm, this is my year to create new relationships that are based on mutual goals and just kind of the same mindset. Mm-hmm. So it sounds a lot more fun when I say it like that.
I was like, that sounds really awesome. That sounds like a great thought process for why you want to go to retreat, why you would be excited, why you would be. So when you think that, how do you feel?
I feel really good and like hopeful and happy, mm-hmm. you know, and my mother was always like, she's 83. So she was like 36 when she had me. So she's a 30s person. She was born in the 30s. So I just grew up hearing you can never be too rich or too thin. That was like really her mantra, you know? So she was all about her weight. And I know that I've internalized that, but I can't believe that I still do it.
Well, but don't, I mean, you know, I
can't believe it.
Well, but don't beat yourself up over that, right? You're working on it. You're working on it.
Right. Right.
And so just, that's a good thought. Just, you know, quit saying, I can't believe, blah, you know, I can't believe this. That just doesn't serve you. It's like, oh, I'm working on it. I'm working on it. This is, you know, this is
right.
what
I'm working with, on.
But I'm working on changing that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, okay. So you look forward to connecting with women and all the other stuff you said. Cause, and I want you to go back and listen to this too, because that was just some really good stuff you talked about with the retreat. So I look forward to connecting with women who have the same goals and, you know, as me, and you know, same mindset and stuff like that. You feel happy and hopeful. So what do you do leading up to the retreat?
I just keep doing the work of the program.
Yeah.
And stop pressuring myself about the weight.
Yeah.
And just do the program.
The basics.
To the best of my ability.
Yeah. I mean, it just all goes back to those four basics, right? And you can be somebody coming into that retreat going, okay, I got the, you know, I've been doing these four basics. I know all about them. Because it is so funny how we talk about a lot of the four, I mean, we talk about the four basics a lot in the retreat. And it's like, you would think we'd be doing all this other stuff, but I mean, still people are confused about the four basics. And it's like, just do those. Do those. They're not confusing. Just keep working on them. And so that's all you got to focus on until the retreat. And then you can just, you know, learn as much as you can when you're there about, you know, about other stuff. So.
Okay.
All right.
Right.
And then, okay. So, and your result is you, you know, you have a great time at the retreat. Because I know that you are going to connect with all kinds of women at the retreat, for sure. I mean, you know, you're going to have your little group with your mentor. You're going to just, y'all going to have a great time at the party and all that kind of stuff. So it's going to be amazing. But I'm not worried about that because, you know, we give you all so many opportunities to connect and you know, get to know people. So it's going to be awesome. So. But yeah, that's what's important to focus on for the retreat. For sure.
Yeah, I definitely feel better already just thinking in this model because I get like instant tightness in my stomach and in my chest when I start thinking about my weight, you know?
Right.
And now I'm relaxed.
Yeah, and just think the retreat has nothing to do with your weight. Just no connection at all. It's just all about connection with other women.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
All right. Well, I look forward to
meeting you.
That's going to be in October or April?
April.
Oh, good. Okay.
And I'm due, I signed up, I signed up for the race too.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Oh my gosh. I'm so excited about the race. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Well, so, I will see you.
Sorry about all the static.
Oh, no, no. You're fine.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Bye.
All right. Let me see how many of these folks I can get through here. Carrie, you're next. Hi. Well, let me unmute you. Hi.
Hi, Betsy.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What's up?
Well, I just have a quick question.
Okay.
Can you set too high of goals for yourself?
You can think that they're too high if you choose to think that they are.
So I set these goals, like I did my vision board, and yeah. I set some goals, and I did mine in January.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to get to Queen's Club, and I keep teeter tottering with the same, you know, 3 or 4 pounds, and I'm like 6 or 7 pounds from Queen's Club. And so I put it for the end of February thinking, oh, that's pretty realistic. Well, I'm not having a lot of faith in myself of getting there. And so I'm gradually, I mean, I know it's not the end of February yet, but the beatdown is already beginning
okay.
a little bit. And then I also, I bought a trainer for my road bike, and my goal was to ride 600 miles by the end of March. I shouldn't say only, because it's better than where I was. I've got 120 miles in so far, but I'm like, I'm nowhere near where I said I was going to be. And so I feel like if I have to make like realistic food plans, shouldn't I be making realistic goals?
Mm.
Or am I just using that as an excuse because I don't believe in myself?
Okay. So first off, have you read Finish, that book Finish?
Is that the John Acuff one?
Yes.
I have like 5 books going on.
Okay.
I have 80 well, talks books.
He talks a lot about goals in there, and he talks about cutting your goal in half.
Okay.
And like, I'm just going to kind of throw out a bunch of options okay. out there. So, because I mean, with perfectionism, you know, and I'm not sure if you're a perfectionist or not, but I am. And so I can tell you that, you know, with, goals, we think that, you know, if there's like no way we're going to reach it, then screw it. You know, I'm not even going to go for it. That's, you know, that's the perfectionist thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so he talks about cutting your goal in half. But so that's one option where it's just like, at this point you could just say, okay, I'm going to cut it in half and say, I'm going to get to, you know, if you had 7 more pounds to lose, you're just going to do 3.5 by the end of, you know, February or whatever.
Right.
So that's one option. But I want to challenge you on something else, just kind of in terms of your thinking around goals.
Okay.
Is the point of a goal to actually reach it?
At some point, yes.
Okay. Is it to reach it on a specific timeline?
See, I think that's where my hang up is, because like my big goal, like I set my year goal to get to my goal weight, which is like I'm at 193 now, and I'm trying to get to 145. I set 3 pounds a month as my goal, which is very realistic, 3 pounds a month, I think. But because there's that time frame thing on it, it's like, oh my gosh. It's kind of like how I was in college. I'd wait till the last minute to write a paper
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. And I'm almost thinking, oh, I got time, I got mm-hmm. time, and kind of dick around with things. Mm-hmm. And yeah,
it's just like, you know, goal setting is great if it works for you, you know, if it produces the results that you want.
Right.
But if it is like, yeah, if it's like causing you to kind of like, you know, dick around, like you said, or, you know, it's all about like, you know, goals are great if they're working for you, if you like the reason for setting goals. And, but here's the other thing. I mean, I think goals are great, not because you're going to necessarily achieve them, but because of the person that you're becoming mm-hmm. on the way to that goal.
Okay.
And I mean, that's, you know, that can be a little woo woo or something, but it's just like, you know, it's not all about like the actual end goal. It's about, okay, what am I going to, you know, all these little bitty decisions leading up to the goal. That is the key. That is what it's all about. And so whatever thinking process gets you to doing all of these little actions, that's what you want to do. So if that means setting a goal, you know, by a specific time, great. If that means setting a goal and then, you know, reassessing and, you know, maybe changing it when you need to,
okay,
that's okay too. You just want to have, you know, your thoughts around it be leading you to the result that you want eventually.
Okay.
So, I mean,
yeah, I think it's the part where the reassessing and then being okay
with
having to, okay, well, let me modify this a little bit.
And what do you make that mean? Do you make that mean just, you know, okay, I'm just figuring this out, or I'm a failure because
I'm going to lean more on the failure side.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking too. So it's just like, you know, and like that cutting your goal in half. I mean, for a lot of people that's like, oh my God, well, that's a, you know, no way I could do that. But again, for perfectionists, it's like, you know, well, I mean, if you lost, you know, a couple of pounds, you know, that's a whole lot better than not losing anything. Right. And it's just like
well, this exactly.
Black or white, you know, there can be that black and white thinking too. So it's just like, whatever you do, you want it to come from a place of where you want it to come from, you know, and just in terms of your thinking and your feelings. So it's almost like put goals maybe up in the, you know, in the C line of the model. And it's like, how do you want to think about goals? You know, okay. Do you want to think of them like as, you know, they will help me get to where I want to be? You know, I mean, that's better than, you know, well, if I don't reach them, I'm a failure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So okay. It's like, I'm saying all this, like, I'm not going to tell you what to do in terms of, you know,
well, whether. No, but I almost like need to hear, because I kind of already knew what you were going to say. But I kind of needed that like little, I don't want to say that. Okay. You know, that I did. I needed that little, like, it's okay if you don't make it. It's okay if you adjust it.
Right.
You don't have to make it mean, you know, that you're a failure or that you're not doing okay with the program or whatever the hell's going on in my head and I'm making it mean.
Right.
And sometimes because I'm very, I don't want to say indecisive, but I tend to want that little reassurance that I'm, you know, going down the right path a little bit.
Right. So. I mean, ultimately, we're all trying to lose weight here, right? But it's just like, it's almost, I think for you, it's kind of this timeline thing, you know, this, like, well, there's kind of this urgency where it's like, maybe this is just going to take as long as it's going to take. And I can keep setting goals, but, you know, and that's, and as long as that's going to get me closer and closer, but, you know, I can make that mean anything I want. In terms of, you know, if I need to adjust the goal or if I don't reach the goal, but I'm still just getting closer to where I want to be ultimately. And that's what it's all about.
Right. And I did have, well, I'm going to get to, you know, this by my birthday, which is in May. And then I'm like, no, that's not real. You know, let's let go. So, I mean, I've let go a little bit, but I mean, obviously there's work to be done to just keep letting go of those.
It's like there's a fine line with goals between, like, you know, you want them to, you know, to keep you moving.
Right.
But then you don't want them to, you know, like, because I get this question so much. It's like, okay, I'm getting towards the end of the month and I know I'm not going to reach my goal. And it's like, should I, you know, what should I do? And it's like, just keep going and be okay with not reaching your goal, but you know that you got closer. And that's what that whole chapter in Finish is about, where it's just like, it's just about getting closer and you're not always going to reach the goal, but you're still getting closer and you're not just giving up because you're not going to get to the actual goal.
Perfect.
And, but our brain just wants it to be like the all or nothing thing, you know?
Oh God. Yeah.
So goals are interesting. I like to see them as interesting because you know, as long as they're working for you to get you closer, then they're good. But if you just insist on reaching them every single time, then they're not necessarily going to work for you.
So. All right. Well,
all right. Interesting. All right. This was good. All right. Talk to you later.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Bye. Okay. Laura, Amber, Kathy. I'm going to try to get y'all. All right. Hi.
I kind of joined this with, I guess I don't have a distinct question, but okay. I was doing a lot of TDLs the other day. And Corinne, I've been listening. I'm a January newbie. I was listening about how, for the compelling reason, it doesn't have to be just one. And so, you know, I came up with several for weight loss. And so I guess I kind of, you know, I feel the lady that was before me that was saying, like, I feel like I've lost my excitement. I kind of feel like I'm back in it with our accountability group and everybody. And I think the thing that I'm struggling with more is, sorry, I don't know if you can hear my text going. The thing I'm struggling more with now is how to apply these skills in other areas of my life. And
okay.
I feel like I'm seeing the results. I mean, that's not rapid or anything, but I can see the success and that building. And I'm, so I was TDLing the other day about why I'm not just starting to apply the skills mm-hmm. in other areas of my life. And then I think I came up with several different reasons. And I guess my question is like, how do you know if some of those are bullshit? If they're just things that you're telling yourself because they sound like good reasons or acceptable reasons or, you know, and I think, like she says, sometimes you don't have to like come up with this earth shattering, you know, oh my gosh, I was molested at three kind of like, and that's not necessarily what's going to come out. And then I guess, does it even matter what, you know, because like I was thinking about, why haven't I lost weight for all these years until I just was here? And, you know, like there's several layers of reasons, not the right program, not the right reasons, not the, you know, the right support or whatever it is. And all of that is what we work on here. But I think, you know, like with work, you know, I came up with a bunch and some of them are, you know, about alienating people and fear of maybe success more than failure and all kinds of different things. And I guess I'm just trying to, as a newbie, get my head around the model and like, do you do an intentional model for each thing you come up with? Or like, I don't know, how do you decide which thing or reason to try to work through?
When you say reason, you come up with several. When you say reason, I think maybe you're thinking like about your thoughts, right? I mean, that
yeah, yeah, yeah. When you come up with several thoughts,
okay,
you know, about maybe why this
okay.
I haven't done it or just extended it to those other areas, or is it just like everything else where I just should start doing the actions and that'll change the thoughts?
Well, that's a definitely, I mean, you know, one way you could go and one way I recommend, because it's okay. But you definitely, with your models, I mean, you want to. I mean, the first thing you want to do is definitely focus on that, you know, what isn't working for you in terms of, you know, if something isn't working and that you want to change it, you want to just do that unintentional model first and really just you're just building the awareness of what like isn't working, but then you're also practicing like not beating yourself up. You're just aware of what's going on and that something that you might want to change. And so you don't. And, you know, and it's not like you can just go immediately to, you know, kind of an intentional model that's, you know, great and happy and you know, rainbows and daisies, we call
right.
it, you know.
Right. It doesn't make it easier, right.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, that's the other, so the, and you mentioned compelling reason too. It's like the whole thing about a compelling reason, and that's just a thought, right? A thought that you're having about like why you want to lose weight. It's like, it's not going to make things easier. It's not going to make you like want to do something when you don't want to necessarily, but it's just a reminder of like why you're choosing, you know, discomfort, why you're choosing to do things when you don't want to and that kind of stuff. And, you know, and work and stuff can be the same way where it's like, for work, a real simple one is like, I like a paycheck. I like, you know, electricity in my house. I like to have heat in my house. You know, it's, right. I mean, that's something that, I mean, that's just a real basic, you know, thought that you can have about work.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
And kind of,
it's all about doing kind of stuff that would get me to the next level. So
yeah.
The, you know, the basics I'm hitting, right. It's yes. like the work, like I'm showing up, I'm doing my job and all yeah. that kind of stuff. It's about doing extra stuff on the side that would push me to mm-hmm. have more control over where I would go in the next mm-hmm. step of my career and those mm-hmm. kind of things. And I just sit here and then it's procrastination. And then I'm like, oh, TDLing or cleaning my house is an acceptable way to procrastinate, but still not actually.
Yeah. And so it's like, yeah, it's that next level of compelling reason. It's like, okay, why? I mean, you just ask yourself why. Actually, this is an interesting exercise that we hadn't talked about in a while. It's called like five whys or something like that. And it's like, okay, why do I want to go to work? You know, why do I want to have a job? Because mm-hmm. I want a paycheck. Why do I want a paycheck? I mean, you can kind of like dig deeper and deeper.
Okay.
And so I don't know if that would work for this or not, but it's almost just like, okay, why do I want to do this work, you know, this extra work? Because mm-hmm. I want to maybe get more opportunities at work. Mm-hmm. Why do I want more opportunities at work? Because I want to, you know, further my career. Why do I want to further my, you know, and so right. you dig deeper and deeper to really find that really, you know, like, and, you know, ultimately it could be something like, because I want, you know, I want the best for myself. I want mm-hmm. to achieve as much as I can in my life. You know, it's, mm-hmm. it's really gets down to those kind of really deep reasons. And so yeah. you can definitely do some journaling around that where it's just, you know, okay, this is, you know, this job over here, like, I don't feel like doing it, but why would I want to do it anyway? And, yeah. And then just kind of dig deeper and deeper where you can, and, you know, and like you said, you want a bunch of different reasons because you mm-hmm. want to be able to kind of, you know, you want that paycheck reason sometimes, but then you also, you know, can pull from this other, you know, I want to be the best version of myself. You know, right. I want to be an example to other people, you right. know, all that kind of stuff too. So it's just coming up with a whole kind of toolkit of reasons that you can pull from and then still being willing to be uncomfortable and do things that you don't want to do in the moment.
Yeah.
But you've got that compelling reason to back you up.
I think that'll be helpful because I keep butting up against the one reason that I don't want to do things. Okay. And then I think it would be helpful to be able to look at the reasons that I do and, you know, look at it from a more.
So what's your reason less emotional. Not to do it?
I feel like this makes me sound like an asshole.
Well, that may be it. That's a thought.
Yes, that's a thought. So I'm a surgery resident in neurosurgery focusing on spine. And I feel like that aside from like my parents and my very close friends and the people that I've met as I've been along this journey, that job title sometimes, like especially with dating or with meeting new people, makes them form an opinion about who I'm going to be and how I'm going to be before I even have a chance to be mm-hmm. you know. And so I feel like my parents don't know the difference if I publish a paper in the crappiest journal or the best journal, right? They just think it's amazing no matter what I do. And I love them for that. Mm-hmm. But I don't, and I think I'm afraid to move beyond, like, weight problem is like, look, I just struggle with things just like everyone else. I'm just, you know, it's like a way to keep myself padded and, you know, I worry about alienating people doing more successful things, I think. And that's a thought. I know that's a thought.
Yeah. And like you're putting other people's, like something you have no yep. control over.
Yep.
And like you're allowing that to really control you, you know, and like affect your decisions.
Yeah. Missy's call with Corinne the other day was.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like that.
Yeah. Cause it's like right. you can't alienate other people. People just choose to connect with right. you. I mean, like, that word is really just not even true, right? It's like people just choose to connect with you or not.
Right.
Yeah.
And I know, like when I was listening to hers the whole time, I'm like, you'll just attract the right people into your life as you, you know, and I'm like, well, why can't I think that?
Right. Like that, listen you know? To yourself.
Yeah.
So yeah, but it's just a, you know, it's just a matter of practicing that where it's just like, okay, you know,
okay,
that can be true for her and that can be true for me too.
Yeah.
But, and then just,
I like that idea of having the why I do want to do it so that when I have that thought of this is why I don't want to do it, cause it could be threatening and I'll be lonelier and all this other stuff, then I can say, no, like these are the reasons why it really is worth doing. Okay.
But also I want you to open up your mind to like, how could you do this and like actually attract people and actually, you know, like even the, you know, like the opposite thought, you know, like how could that be true for me in terms of, you know, how, like, what if that thought was a total lie and the opposite was actually true where, I mean, just open up your mind to that.
Yeah.
What if?
Yeah, I've never thought about it like
just
that.
Just ask yourself, like, what if doing all this actually attracted people to me that, you know, that I want to be in my life?
Yeah.
Something like that.
No, that's really true.
Yeah. Yeah.
I never thought about it like
that.
Be,
you know, do some writing on that, some thinking on that, and just open up your mind to that a little bit.
Okay.
All
right. Thanks,
Betsy. All right. Yeah. Here. Bye.
Thank you.
Amber. Amber? Are you there? There you are. Hi.
Hi, I'll go fast. It's noon.
Okay, yes.
So I've been leaving bites for lunch and dinner. I'm the one who had the four exceptions and the waist moving and blah, blah, blah. So now I'm just leaving bites and I'm kind of just like at a plus one all the time. So I'm on day five and I'm like, so is my hunger going to adjust or am I shooting? Is plus one a normal tool for the last 12 pounds?
No. Really,
like, how can I be satisfied and lose weight? It's not making sense to me. Ugh.
Okay, let me ask you this. Let me just ask you this. Are you sure it is you're at plus one and not like your plus two is what you think is plus one?
If someone could tell me a definition that works for plus two, I still have not heard anyone tell me a physical sensation for plus two. I get a feeling in my throat and my thoughts are I'm satisfied. Like, as far as I could tell, everyone's minus two is physical, but everyone's plus two is a thought. So well, I'm like, I don't know how to answer that.
And I mean, I know that, well, there is that hunger scale worksheet thing in No BS.
Right.
And so you probably looked at that, but I just remember like, it's like you could still do yoga like comfortably. It's not like you're over full, you know, to where it would be uncomfortable for you to like take a brisk walk, do yoga, that kind of stuff.
That is a 10 pound bite range for me. I mean, I can do that at so I wait a half an hour and then I'm still not satisfied. I mean, so that's where I'm like, what am I doing wrong now? Or will my hunger start to adjust with less food?
Well, you say you're still not satisfied. So you're saying physically, you're still not physically satisfied.
Right. Physically not satisfied. And mentally, like the thought is, I know my thought is I've had enough food. I'm satisfied when I start saying, but I want this. I know I'm done. But when I'm like, I still need more food, that's a different thought. But the nuance between my minus three, when I know for sure I'm hungry, no, it's not that 30 minutes later. It's not that active hunger. I'm not making sense.
No. And I know, I mean, and I, you know, I hear some frustration and I know, but are you feeling good, really good physically? And
yes, I am so much. Everything is so good.
Okay, so here is the deal. Then just go with it. I almost think that you're just you're overthinking. And I mean, you could have like some stress kind of cortisol hormones going on that could be, you know, be preventing you from releasing some weight at this point. Because you're trying so hard to figure all this out mentally.
Maybe. My external stressors are very low at this point. And so I definitely am like, okay, do I need to start looking at quality of food, like proteins versus fats?
I just think I want you to, I gave you this one exception thing, right?
Yeah. And it went great. I did great. I did all the discomfort and the writing. It was great.
So here's your new assignment.
Okay, tell me.
I want you to not change anything for like a month.
You mean keep leaving bites And
whatever you've been doing, whatever
for the last week,
whatever you've been doing in terms of, well, no. I mean, I want you to eat -2 to +2.
Okay.
But I just want you to just not think about this for a month.
Wow. This might be a first in P&P.
Don't tell anyone.
Amber, just keep.
Don't think. There's only 23 people on here, so maybe they won't tattle on me to Corinne that I told you not to think. But
okay, you mean I'm obsessing too much?
Yes.
I don't know. So. Am I? Is that even possible? Okay.
Yes. Well, and that's a thought, right? I mean, so you think? What were you saying? Is that even possible?
I was hoping after 5 days, my hunger would adjust to less food, and I would feel satisfied.
It didn't, and so just go back to -2 to +2. But here's the thing. This is where I'm talking about thinking again. It's like, what if right now you were just at a place where your body is just adjusting to feeling really good, and you're just doing these four basics, and you're just like focusing on other things in your life, and you're just, this is where you are right now.
I have a temper tantrum in my head.
And that is, I think that's that's a sign, right? That's a thing. Like, there's a reason you're having a temper tantrum, because you want something that your body is just not, it's just not ready to do right now.
It's been doing it for a year. Come on. Okay. You got to go. I will.
No.
Oh my gosh. I am like such an A+ student at all the things and the scale. Oh, wow.
Okay. So that's something. Do you know about the concept of B- work?
Well, I've been effing things up for the last 12 months. And then last month was like, no, hey, double star, finally got to this point. That's why I want the damn payoff.
But what if, and that is your poison thought.
But I'm doing the things that the plan say work. So I can't trust the plan and be satisfied right now at the same time. I can't trust the coaches and the 2 and 2 and the basics, because they're not actually working the last month. So that's where I'm like, what am I missing here?
But
so
what
I,
if you're just not supposed to lose weight right now?
That is completely unacceptable to me. That's the whole reason I'm doing all this work.
I mean, what if you were just supposed to like feel good and like feed your body good fuel, and it is just like getting ready to, it's just going to get ready. No,
forever.
No, to release the weight when it's good and ready on its own timeline.
I'm not a faith-based person, Betsy. I'm a work person. I'm not a faith-based person. Okay.
This whole process is just not math. It's not, it's not concrete math stuff. It's just, I want you to come up with a good reason to keep doing this.
Yeah.
It's not weight loss related.
Those are easy. I love all the reasons. I just want the last part of it. I'm doing all, like 10 other things are so kick ass in my life. I just want this last part.
And that last part will come.
Oh, all right. See you next Saturday.
I do. I want you to, well, if you want to, I mean, I'm doing the next 2 Saturdays. So, okay. So at least chat, put it in the chat, or we can coach.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Bye. Mwah.
Okay, Kathy, you'll be the last one here. A little late. I'm not supposed to go late. Nobody tell Corinne. Hey.
Hi. You know what? I didn't mean to raise my hand.
Oh, you didn't?
No. Oh. So you can get to go. Restart your afternoon.
Yes, I can get out of here. Okay. All right. Well, I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Well, have a good afternoon. Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, that worked out. Okay. Let me make sure there's 2 questions. Oh, okay. This was Amber's question. Okay. That was just what I coached Amber on. Let me see if there's any questions in here. Ooh, some good chat in here. Vicki got some good support there. Do the coaches ever say the names of the next few callers so you can prepare yourself, or is it always just wait and see? Yeah, I try to do that, Melody. Just so y'all, I should think about that because, yeah, y'all are, you know, probably just kind of doing other things while you're waiting to be called. So I'll just, I'll try to make a note of doing that where I just say, okay, this is the order I have. And so you can get ready. Weight loss is not sexy. It is ownership of being healthy. I love that. And yep, you just need that break sometimes. And it's, you know, it's not going to be comfortable at first, but sometimes we just need a mental break. And we've just been using food for so long, but it's not, it doesn't have to be food, right? Shoot for the moon and you'll land among the stars. I love that. Oh, okay. B minus work. Yes. So that's just like a concept that I learned about through my training in life coach school. And it is just all about like, you know, perfectionism, right? Where, you know, as perfectionists, we want to do A plus work all the time and, you know, perfect work. And that is not, that's not possible, right? That's just not realistic. And so shoot for doing B minus work most of the time, because the whole thing is that B minus work is good enough. B minus work is done work. Because I know I call myself a recovering perfectionist. When I think, oh, I can't do it A plus, then I might as well not do it at all. And so, you know, I go from, you know, A plus to F, right? And if I just focus on, okay, I am going to do B minus work today, and that is good enough. And, you know, that is all I need to do to get my work done and for it to be, again, be good enough, then that really helps me. So yeah, it's just, that's what it is. And I think, I don't know if it's in a life coach school podcast or not, but, it's a concept that I learned through that. So, it's just like focus on doing B minus work, because B minus work is good enough. And that's just the thought that I practice. And, you know, it's a practice that you've got, I mean, it's a thought that you've got to practice believing, right? But A plus work all the time is not realistic. It's just, and it's not possible. So maybe I saw one more question come in. Oh, sure, Amber. All right. All right, guys. See y'all next Saturday. Kathy will be doing this on Tuesdays for in February, and then I'm doing Saturdays. So that's what we got going on. All right, guys. Take care. Bye.